In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Champ, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper, told by the trees, until now.
Did you know that it's been 9 years since the last one was made?
I thought it was 10.
Yeah, that's right, because this is the end of the fucking year right now, whatever. But yeah. 10 fucking years? I thought this shit came out like, I'm not going to say like 4 or 5 years.
Well, the fans have talked about it so much that it feels that way. Like, it's insane. But, I mean, this is, this is Anchorman 2, folks.
What is it called? The Legend Continues?
The Legend Continues. The Legend of Ron Burgundy Continues. Yeah. And, I don't know. I was watching this, and I was enjoying this, but I had that lingering thought in my head of you. And how you were probably just with every joke and every stupid saying and every scream, I could see you clenching your popcorn box tighter and tighter.
Well, let me ask you a question, because we've had this talk in Trailer Talk. So before we get into the plot synopsis, because we had this talk in Trailer Talk last week episode, where someone was talking about how the trailer looks stupid or whatever, and I think I said that I think people will like it, but I don't think it'll be as big as the first one was. But, I don't know, I'm hearing some mixed things on it, so... Where do you fall in that category? Do you think it's better than the first one, or do you think it's right on par?
The first one? I gotta be honest. I like it more than the first one.
You like it more than
the first one? I do, because...
Apparently I was wrong as a motherfucking answer.
Because here's the thing. Now, I kept saying to myself, and I even told you this, I was like, I don't know how the fuck they're gonna go about going a sequel with this. Like, where are they gonna go with this?
I hear a lot of people saying that, and for someone that didn't like the first one, I saw where they could have went.
And that's the thing. As soon, because there's a scene early on where, basically, to get into the plot synopsis, so is it 5 or 10 years after the original Anchorman? I couldn't remember.
You know, they never really, I don't remember them really saying, I know it's in the 80s.
Yes, it starts in the 80s, and...
As it says, it took place in the 70s, and I don't know what year it was.
Right. So this is the start of the 80s, and Veronica Corningstone and Ron Burgundy have moved to national television. And there's a scene early on in which I knew P1 probably laughed his ass off, because they look at Harrison Ford comes in for a little cameo as their boss. He looks at Christina Applegate, he's like, "You're the best news anchor we ever had. You're doing an amazing job. We're going to make you the lead female anchor, the first one ever." He looks at Ron Burgundy and goes, "You suck."
You know, can I tell you my first 5 minute experience here or whatever? My first 5 minute experience, I sat down, had my fucking veggie pizza and shit. I had my little cherry icy. I was like, all right, let's time to see what people think about this or whatever, see how they get into this or whatever. And already 5 minutes of the movie, this motherfucker on camera yelling and shit. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna walk out. I was like, you know what? I don't even know why. Cause I was like, it's gonna be different from the first one. I was like, hey, it might be different. I was like, it's a new movie or whatever. But no. This is the same shit. Him yelling into the camera. I don't know what the fuck he was mumbling. He was mumbling some shit or whatever. I was like, this better pick up whatever. I mean, I couldn't stand any of these fucking people in this movie. You know, the only one I did tolerate with was, I don't even know. I think I don't even know his name in the movie or whatever, but it's Paul Rudd's character. Is it Bernie or something? I don't know.
No. Hold on. Ron Burgundy. Not Brick. Brick Steve Carell. Champ is Brian Fantana.
Brian Fantana. And I don't remember the first one that much, but I don't know if he just got the shaft in this movie, but he didn't really have much to do.
No, that was the thing. That is one of my criticisms, is that, you know, those characters, the scenes that they're in are actually some of the best scenes, and they're not really utilized that much.
No, it almost seems like Will Ferrell said, hey, people came here to see me, not this team, whatever. And I'm just judging. I don't know what they're saying, honestly. I'm just judging this from the first one, from what I remember or whatever, that we're here to see this. So you guys can have your little one-liners and do your little quirks and stuff like that, whatever. But mainly this is going to be focused on me. So you just sit back and watch how we do this, kids. And I don't know, Paul Rudd, since he was not on camera as much or whatever, or if he was, he didn't have any dialogue. He didn't annoy me because he wasn't doing stuff that... He seemed to be just grounded. That's what it was.
Yeah, and that's kind of how he was in the first movie, too. His jokes were mainly, like, sexual jokes, but they were so crazy. And, like, it was kind of weird because the first movie really did hit a lot of different factions of comedy, and his was the sexual comedy. The kind of low-grounded, more play... Like, chauvinistic type of comedy, because he's like, he wants to be a womanizer, but you can tell obviously he's not.
And it's funny that you say that too, though, because you can tell he kind of is a womanizer, but I don't know if it's just because he plays it so cool that it's just not, you know, it's not like overbearing, over the top for me or anything like that, whatever. So I was just like, I get his jokes or whatever, it kind of fits in this world, but he's so level grounded, like you said, or whatever. I don't know. His character to me seems like the best, and I wish everybody else was kind of like this, whatever. Where they're not shouting or doing something retarded by looking at something for the longest, or just quoting right. references out of nowhere. And I was like, but Paul Rudd seemed to be the most ground, like you said, grounded character in the film. To me.
Now here's the thing. Now this is where the film elevates itself for me over the original, because the original, you know, it was about.
Finish with the plot synopsis first. Finish with the
plot. Oh yeah. Okay. So. After Harrison Ford tells Ron Burgundy he sucks ass at news anchoring, he
looked at two people. You suck ass.
Yeah, like he you gotta admit that was funny. Harrison Ford just getting in his fucking face.
I didn't laugh because to me that's just Harrison Ford. I was like, I see that through interviews and shit like that. I was like, damn, they got Harrison Ford to play Harrison Ford. I mean, he's like that. I mean, have you seen that movie Paranoia? He's like that.
That's true. And that's kind of why I was laughing, because I was thinking back to that movie. It's like, I bet they told him, okay, pretend this is Liam Hemsworth. And then he's just like, you mother!
I don't know. I didn't look at him in this movie as like, oh my god, that's Harrison Ford. For some reason, I just looked at him and it was just like, that's Harrison Ford. It almost felt like when I saw him, he's just like, oh, he's like that cousin that comes over every holiday or something. When I saw him, I was just looking, I was like, I don't have any kind of, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, I just didn't have any kind of reaction to him, because I was just looking at him, I was just like, damn, have I heard so much about Harrison Ford this fucking year that I'm just used to him now, whatever.
Maybe. So, after Harrison Ford tells Ron Burgundy that he's fired, Ron Burgundy's like, I need to get the news team back together. We have to do something different. Enter the era of the 24-hour news station, where
everybody thinks it's stupid.
Right. And the one run by – this one's run by Megan Good, who I know P1 here probably loves to death.
You know, I gotta say, hey, I fucking adore – you know what? I'll give her credit too, because all the movies I've seen here, because that is my future wife, my baby mama, and Thrill Ride, or whatever, if anybody wants to call it.
So she probably came in.
One black woman, I will ride.
She probably came in this, and you're like, oh, thank God.
Did you see her in that low cut skirt when she was up on Raw? Her ass was apple bottom sticking out. I said, God damn, what's going on? I said, this woman, she has got to be the finest woman. And then I saw this other movie this week as well, and I was like, I take that back. Maybe you're second, but, you know.
Exactly. But, it was just this thing where, like, as soon as she came on screen, I was like, well, P1's giving this a see it.
Jeez, she is. I mean, we didn't do a whole podcast just how stunning she looks or whatever. I don't know if it's the camera or what. You know what? It's funny because this old job I used to have where by the Beverly Hills or whatever, I hear her and her friend used to walk around and stuff like that, and her friend looks 20 times hotter than her, which I was just like, how is that possible?
Yeah, exactly. But back to the plot. So she runs this 24-hour news station, and she sees these four guys, and she's like, I know what I'll do. I'll kill their careers by putting them on the graveyard shift, which is like midnight, 1, 2, 3 o'clock at night. Little does she know, though, that these guys are chauvinistic, unbelievable assholes. And on 24-hour news station TV, that sells.
Didn't an Australian guy run the station? Or?
Well, Megan Good was kind of like the figurehead, where she did all the...
Yeah, she was like supposed to be like the best in town or something like that, what she did. So they kind of made her like kind of a consultant boss, I guess, or whatever.
Right.
There was an Australian. I don't know who he was. But he had a fake Australian accent, or whatever. And he was pretty much the one that put the money into. So I guess he's like CEO, if you will.
Right.
And exactly. Yeah, pretty much like you said. I will give Megan Good credit. That all the movies I've seen her in. I mean, the movies were shit. I mean, Think Like a Man. I thought she just
Saw Five.
I guess she was just like whatever. I mean, yeah. Like she kind of has like. It's kind of like Mila Kunis to me, or whatever. It's like I like seeing her on screen, but it's kind of like, you know, you don't really add much. But in here. I thought this was probably the best acting job I've ever seen her done.
Yeah, because she has to deal with, you know, she's actually a good comedic fool of these guys, because she's the Veronica Corningstone in this movie, where she's the one going, you guys are idiots.
And then she went to the Adam Sandler territory when she hooks up with the dumbass. I was like, how do these dumbasses keep getting these hot ass women? I don't understand this.
Right.
I'm smart.
That was the one thing, especially after there's a dinner scene later on. It's like this would never happen. She would never talk to him ever again.
I think I like me and your chances better at getting that before he as stupid as we are, I still believe that we have a better chance than her ass and than his ass would. I mean, there is no way she would put up with any of this. I was like, all right, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. After that dinner table scene, because that's shown in the trailer, and like the funniest bits of that scene are in the trailer, but it suffers from what a lot of these Adam McKay, Will Ferrell movies do, where just the scenes go on too long.
You know, that was going to be probably like, I can handle this in small doses. I probably can. I don't know. I've seen hour and a half Adam Sandler movies, I guess. I don't know. I don't remember any of them. But I mean, I can put up with this, but all these, the comedic jokes that they were trying to pull in here, either for me, they came out of nowhere as far as the references go, or the jokes that were supposed to be, like, shocking, whatever. They just went on for fucking forever. And I was looking, I was like, man, you know, you can wrap this up. Especially, like, the, I guess only racial jokes in here were black jokes, to be honest with her. I was kind of
offended. They had some gay jokes.
Yeah, there was some gay jokes in here.
But no, I completely agree with you with the offensive black jokes. It's like, okay, you guys are kind of beating that horse dead.
I mean, we said this in our This Is the End review. The one problem I had with this is the end, that shit was over 2 hours. I don't think comedy should ever be over 2 hours.
No, I agree with you. This one does kind of overstate its welcome. But I will say this. And this is what I was getting to earlier, where I say this elevates over the original for me.
Yeah, tell me why. I'm trying to figure out this why now.
Okay, I've never really talked to you about this, but I hate Fox News. I hate MSNBC. I hate those 24-hour news stations that just, they whore themselves out for ratings. And that's exactly what this was making fun of. And when that realization came in my head, I was like, oh my God.
I didn't give a shit about that because people have been making fun of that for I don't know how long. Have you ever heard this song called Sly Fox by Nas? I mean, there's a song out there. I mean, there's all kind of shit out there to the point that people are still making fun of Fox News and just bringing up shit. It's kind of like, I mean, it's almost like I just said about Harrison Ford. I expect that out of Fox News now. It's like, I mean, I'm not expecting
that's the thing. And
that it's 2013 and they're now just making fun of it. It's like, does anybody give a shit about Fox News anymore? I mean, who even... Besides Republicans and conservatives, who watches Fox News?
Nobody, but they're the ones who get pissy whenever anyone makes fun of them.
I know. Well,
sure that's kind of the thing. Like, I'm hoping this movie gets a rise out of them, just because. Like, I'd love seeing.
I'm sure Will Ferrell will. I don't think he's too big on the whole. I've seen him on these like interview shows talking about politics and stuff like that. I don't think Will Ferrell really is that big of a fan of Fox News. I could see.
No, you can tell, obviously, that's what they were making fun of throughout this whole movie.
Yeah, it's like right in your face or whatever. I mean, somebody asked me what I thought about Brick. I was like, he's a stupid fucking idiot. I couldn't stand him throughout the whole time. I remember somebody told me that that was his favorite character, and I was just like, but Paul, I was like, how the fuck is he your favorite character or whatever? I was like, he was the most annoying retard, like out of nowhere. They're not even talking about, like, Ghostbusters or nothing. He just say, I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I was looking at that like, was that supposed to be fucking funny?
No, he really is. Like, he's one of those, how can I describe this? He's a lovable idiot. Because you look at him, you just go, he just doesn't know any better.
I for some reason, I didn't like him at all. I would not want to hang around him at all. And you say lovable? It almost felt like Will Ferrell didn't want him to outshine him, so he just like, let me write some parts that don't even go on what the rest of us are talking about, and you just come in and say random shit so you can just go be in the background or something like that. I'm not saying Will Ferrell tried to shite these guys or whatever, because I'm sure they're best friends or whatever in real life, but watching this movie, it sure did feel like Will Ferrell said, fuck you guys.
It's weird that you say that, because he didn't write this.
Sure, he did write it. He did write it. I remember
him
and some other people.
I thought it was him and Adam McKay.
Yeah, he wrote it.
I thought Adam McKay was the ring writer on this.
Adam
McKay,
Will Ferrell, somebody. Yeah, I forgot who the other person was.
Okay, all right, fair enough. But I don't know. It's like, it's weird to me because I went into this expecting like to do what a lot of comedies do, where a lot of sequel comedies do, where they just copy the same jokes. And to me, having that whole angle of making fun of the 24-hour news station, I really liked that. That was like, okay, you know, I didn't expect this to actually work, but you guys are making it work, and I feel like you didn't like this scene, but the fight scene with every cameo you can imagine, bad acting at all, had me dying.
Yeah, that's what I was like. This is dry. This was the third point where I was ready to walk out. And I was like, how long is this fucking movie? I was like, and then I heard that there's two unedited cuts, and I was like, oh fuck, I got one of them cuts. Oh, and I was sitting there for a long, and I was like, I really don't need to know the ending to give the review out. And I was standing up for a while, and I was like, because they were like, when they first met the first cameo, and then I was just like, okay, that one cameo. Then some other ones, I was just like, okay, man, damn, are y'all going to fight? What are y'all going to do? I mean, shit, wrap this shit up, B. I mean, shit. I mean, so there was the scene that pissed me off the most, honestly, had to be like, you see this part in the trailer, is the black part where he kept saying that when he saw her, Megan Good's character. I was just like,
yeah,
is that supposed to be funny or shocking? We're like, what is that supposed to be like? He just kept saying, black. Like, I was like, nobody else is reacting to it, and then everybody's looking at him, like, even Paul Rudd and the guy that plays Champ was just, like, in the background, just, like, looking like, what the fuck? And then the dinner table, I don't know where the fuck that went, I was offensively pissed off a little bit. I was like, all right, you know what?
No, I don't blame you at all for that scene. I don't.
I definitely don't get this shit now at all, or whatever. I was like, I think after that scene, that's where they pretty much just lost me.
So what'd you think of Kanye West's acting ability?
I've seen Kanye West's acting ability in South Park when he was doing Gay Fish.
This one, he has one line. He has one line in this movie, and he still screws it up.
I was saying, he still fucks that up. I was like, did that nigga become mush mouth all of a sudden? I was like, damn, when did they get 50 Cent on screen or whatever? Did he not look like 50 Cent a little bit? I was like, damn, man.
They kind of did dress him up like this. And I'm sure, like, he didn't see the dinner table scene. It's just like, I'm going to be an Anchorman. And then when he sees the actual cut, he's going to throw a hissy fit too.
Yeah, you know he would be on, like, because I don't give a shit what Kanye says. He looked like he'd be teamed up with Fox News or whatever. And he saw, like you said, that dinner table scene or whatever. I'm sure he would have said something or whatever to the point where it would have sounded right at first, but then he would have kept going on to the point where he's like, all right, you ain't making no sense now, no more, Kanye. Can you just sit your black ass down now or whatever shit?
Right.
I don't know. I can see why some people like it, because I had a mixed crowd of theater where some people were sitting in front of me that wasn't doing anything, and then there was some people on the side that were laughing or whatever. And I get where the comedy's coming from, but I was like, this is one of those things, once again, because it's not for me, but I hear, like, I hear what you're saying about, like, you didn't expect this out of a sequel because you didn't expect a sequel. But for me, I always feel like Will Ferrell movies are all just one big movie. So, like, that's what I was kind of expecting.
Sure.
I was just, it's all the same. And I'm not a fan. Matter of fact, you already know, I think I've told you this or somebody, that I can't fucking stand Step Brothers. And that was the one that pushed me over the Man-Child thing. And the Man-Child come, that shit, I can't stand it. It annoys the shit out of me.
Right.
It does.
Right. And I, you know what? This ultimately boils down to, in my opinion, this boils down to, do you like the first Anchorman? If you answer yes, you're going to like this. If you don't, then you're probably not going to like this. I mean, that's ultimately what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And I like the first Anchorman just because, you know, that movie holds a very close spot in a lot of me and my friends' hearts, because that came out when we were like 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
So
I told a lot of people that too, because I heard a lot of people coming to me saying, oh, that trailer does look bad or whatever. And I was like, did you like the first one? And they were like, oh yeah, I like the first one. I was like, you're gonna like this one. I mean, I was like, this was before I even saw the movie. I was like, you're gonna like this one. I mean,
yeah,
and once again, you say Anchorman, I say it's pretty much based, do you like Will Ferrell?
Yeah, and that's all, like, it really does boil down to that. But there are jokes in here that do make callbacks to the original Anchorman, and all those jokes are actually pretty funny. So
yeah.
I do appreciate that. I'm actually gonna give this a low see it. I was really shocked because I was like you. I didn't think that this was going to be good just because I was like, I don't know where they're going to go with this. But that angle that they took with making fun of the 24-hour news station, I really did enjoy that, especially in today's modern society where, yes, people do make fun of it, but in mainstream media, it seems like people are afraid to. So I actually give the movie a lot of credit for taking jabs at something that needs to have more jabs taken at it, besides the guy from South Park and Family Guy.
What would you give the original then if you give this a low seed?
If I had to do the original, I'd probably give it a high run it.
Oh, wow, okay. Well, you sound like you're kind of in the same category. I mean, it sounded like this movie, compared to the first one, it was more 50-50. Or I would say, like, 60-40 or something like that, whatever. It sounded like that there was some stuff in here for the fans, and then there was some stuff in here that was like, yeah, that could have easily been taken out to cut this running time a little bit shorter. Mainly the black jokes. That is, I don't know, for some reason, I don't even know why, that upset the shit out of me for something. I was just like,
I don't blame you. I really don't blame you at all, dude.
I, was like, how many movies I didn't see, stupid ass movies this year I didn't see too, whatever. How many clips has Leihu sent me about stupid ass shit of like race that? That is like, oh my God, here we go, whatever. But this one, for some reason, just sitting there.
I think what it boils down to. I think what it boils down to is just that I've said this always about race humor. Race humor, you can get away with if it's clever.
Yeah.
In this one, it's just not clever.
Yeah, it just seemed random.
Right. It's random and it's.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's random and it's easy jabs. Like, they're like, it's like, oh, you're black. That means you're a convict. It's like, oh, haha. How many times have we heard that one before?
And to me, honestly, the black jokes came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably the main thing I had a problem with that. Where it just came out of nowhere. I was like, they have all these jokes to 80s reference and crack and all this stuff, whatever. But I was like, the black shit felt crowbarred in there as if they just had to do a race joke. And I was like, I don't get that. You know, like, once again, this movie definitely is not for me. If you're a fan of Will Ferrell or the first one, then yeah, you go ahead and see it or whatever, because you're going to enjoy this. You're going to have a good time, whatever. But for me, no, I can't believe I'm saying this. I got offended in a Will Ferrell movie. The fuck?
Yeah.
How the fuck can you get offended in a Will Ferrell movie or whatever? But I was offended like 3 times in the movie. And I've told Leon, of course, or whatever, because we both don't like the rest. We were talking about it earlier, and I said, man, I had that Leon syndrome where I debated with myself 3 times walking out, man. I was annoyed and pissed off at some scenes or whatever, and it was just testing my patience. And then the 2-hour-plus mark for me, whatever, I was like, all right, you know what? This is a high old fuck it then for me.
All right. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. It's odd that we have such a radical difference, but in this film, I really can't blame you. I can't. Just because, like, no, you're absolutely right. With the black jokes, that's the disconnect between, you know, you and I. Not to bring race into this, but, like, those, like, this movie is funny to me. But I will admit, those black jokes to me were not funny. And I could easily see black people getting really pissed off at them.
You know, it's funny, before we did the review, I had thought about that. I was like, I think Leihu liked it. But I think we're not going to really get into that much of an argument of what we do like and don't like here or whatever. And then when I heard you say, I was just like, yeah, I figured this review would go down that way or whatever. Because I was just like, yeah, because I understand. I really do get why people like it. I can see why people enjoy it, whatever, stuff like that. But once again, it's one of those things. It's highly not for me. And I don't know. If I have to feel the feeling of walking out, then I can't give it any kind of credit at all or whatever. So, yeah, that was damn. Like I said, I can't believe a Will Ferrell fucking movie offended me. That's going to be the headline of this goddamn movie.
Fair enough. I can't believe you gave a movie a fuck it with Megan Good in it. That should be the bigger headline.
Man, did you see that Coco Brown skin of her?
Oh, God, no. We're not going down this path. Good night, everyone.
That Coco Brown.
We're done.
Cocoa's creamy butter. Oh my God. Oh, let you hold this nappy for me.
We're done.
I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What's he doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation. And on that note,
which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
Am I right? Say what?